Heartbeat today. And I'd like to invite you to really listen to what I have to share. Hear it with your heart. Yes, we have to use our minds to assess and think, but hear what I'm going to share with you with your heart. Why do we read the Bible? You might think, oh, because it's something that we just do. It's something that I hear at church, at Mass, every week. We're encouraged to. And yes, we are encouraged to. You know, God told Joshua in Deuteronomy, and in Joshua, actually, the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. Let not this book of the law depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Now, back then, they were talking about the Torah, the Old Testament part, the Jewish part. I'm not saying that, you know, we don't read the whole thing, but very much the Jews only had the Old Testament. And they were encouraged to meditate upon it day and night. Well, we now in the Bible have the Old Testament and the New Testament. The time of God's creation, the beginning, the time before Jesus, the time when Jesus was born, the time after Jesus, and the book of Revelations, which is prophetically describing the future, or into the future, what God has in store for us, what will occur on the end times. And it's very much in prophetic, flowery, florally language that I read it sometimes and go, oh, I don't have a clue what that means. But the whole Bible, we're encouraged to meditate upon day and night. Why? Isn't it just a book? I mean, it's a fairly thick book. You know, it's very substantial. It's got lots of different writers in it. So some writers I enjoy, some writers I go, don't have a clue what that means or don't like their style. But it's more than just a book. It's been around for before Christ because of the Old Testament. And 2,000 years ago, when Christ came, after Christ. So it's a very ancient old book. And it's got history in it. It's got history. It's got stories. You can go look at other history books written in those centuries, in that time, and they match up. The same king, the same people, the same area people were living in, they match up. Which goes to show you that what's written in here is what actually happened, is real. But it's not just history, it's His story. It's God's story. It's a way that God has used to share with us. God can share with us in a number of ways and means, but it's got life-changing wisdom. It's the Word of God. It's the mind and heart of God trying to be written in a language that we humans can understand. And you can read it and read it and read it, and you will still delve into it deeper and have a better understanding the more God reveals it to you. It is the Word of God. His like I said, His mind, His heart, His voice to us. And there's different translations, but there's a beautiful translation that we often use, which is the NRSV, which is the New Revised Standard Version. Why? Because it is literal and literate, meaning it is accurate in its written translation from Greek, Aramaic, from the original, you know, Jewish way they describe things, and trying to explain it in words that we understand in our English today. And if it's not in English, in whatever translation, Chinese, Japanese, you know, whatever you are. But it's also literate in that it's beautiful. It describes it accurately and beautifully, all in the one way. Some other translations are a bit more, teacher-wise. You know, mind-wise, they're a bit more up and down-wise. Some are so florally that they've actually departed in some ways from the actual exact translation, because they've done a translation of a translation of a translation to try and describe it, to put in extra sentences and words so you can understand. And they're okay, they're great to read. I'm just saying the NRSV translation is accurate but also beautiful. But we're reading the Bible because it's also a form of prayer. If I want to know the mind of my God, who I'm trying to love and serve and discover even, if you want to discover God, read the Bible. And you can go, oh, but it's really hard. Then start in one of the Gospels, which is one of the four in the beginning of the New Testament. Start with one of those and start reading the story of when the Son of God came to earth, when the Son of God walked the earth, the Son of God was with us, shared with us. You can then understand the mind and heart of God the Father, because remember, Jesus the Son says, I can only do what the Father has given me. I reflect the Father reflects me, because they're one. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit within them as well. Three in one. So when we read it, it is actually a form of prayer. It's unfolding God's mind, and it's unfolding in many ways God sharing with us and us trying to share with God. That's why you're encouraged to meditate upon it day and night. Because if we don't think about it, it's not important to us. If we don't think about it and go a step further and maybe question, ask questions, delve into it more, find out about it, this two-way relationship which God desires for us, Him and us, which is prayer. Prayer is the conversation, the relationship that you have with your God, that you share with. Sometimes you have words. Sometimes you just have emotions and feelings. Sometimes you sit in silence before Him in awe. All of this can be found in the Scripture. All of it can be. You can read about other people's descriptions of how they were when they met God, how it felt, what happened to them. All truth. Don't we all want to seek truth in our life? Truth for us, my purpose, what I'm supposed to be doing? Well, it can be found in here. Because God will inspire things that you read to go, yes, Rosemary, that's you. That's what you're describing. That's why you emotionally you can even connect with the person that you're reading about, because that's you. That's how you feel. That's how I want to share with you. That's how I want to love you. So God, it's like God's love letters to us. He shares us His heart. I love you, my people, He says. I am your God and you are my people. So we meditate on it because we want God's mind and heart. I know it's portrayed by writers, but God inspired them to write. And that's why it's wonderful that there's so many different writers, because some writers you like reading and you say, I guess, enjoy reading more than others. God was very, very sensible when He did that. If He just had one writer and then I started reading it and go, oh, I don't like his style, would I continue reading it? Hopefully I would, but God has meshed it all together, and he's done a wonderful thing in that He's invited humanity to be in His word, because that's His heart too. His heart is for us. He invites human people, journalists, people who've just had an experience and need to write it down, scribes, Pharisees, priests, lay people, children. And He's got them to write it down. At first, remember, they didn't write it down. They just shared it by word and kept sharing it and kept sharing it. You know the stories? Grandma, remember the story when you were little? Tell me again about it. Same thing. And we pass His story on to generation, to generation, to generation. Our reading of it should initiate a response from us. And I want to challenge you. If you don't know God, start reading. And you will be inspired. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will never be the same. It is a life changing book. These are life words. You know, the words, it says, they cut between bone and marrow like a two-edged sword. I know what they cut for. They don't cut to damage. They cut to heal, to nurture, to fix our wounds. They cut to actually show you the truth, to go deep and reveal to you what is truth, who is God, what is your purpose for your life, why were you put on the earth? God's word does that. This is a ways and a means of finding out the will of God. We say in Our Father, your will be done. We'll find out his will. Find out his mind and his heart. Read it. Read it and meditate upon it. Think upon it. You know, I want to have a fulfillment in my life. I want to have at the end, not just at the end of my life, but during my life, I've got meaning. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I just love doing what I'm doing. Read his word. It will share with you. He will inspire you. He will show you the way. Because it says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who does not want to know the way? Who does not want to, you know, find the truth? Who does not want life? And it's not. It's we want it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Prayer and Bible reading are both ways of listening to God. You know, our prayer should be biblical and our Bible reading should be prayerful. They're intertwined. In prayer, sometimes a scripture comes to my mind and I speak out to God, God, you are holy. You are amazing. Lord God, you are wonder, counselor, prince of peace, as it states in Isaiah. And I use that in my prayer. But when I'm reading, I need to be prayerful about what I'm reading, because just because you're having a prayer time doesn't mean that God can't speak to you or be with you at other times as well. Delve into his word. You know, in Catholic theology, we have seven sacraments where we know Jesus is truly present in these things, in what we do, in the traditions that we have. The baptism, God is truly present. The Holy Spirit comes upon us in our baptism. But, you know, this book is sacramental in that God has put it aside. It is holy. It is a sign where his grace is. It is a sign every page, every word, the grace of our God. It does not give grace by itself, but is dependent on how we use it. If I don't open it up, I'm not going to get graces from it. But if I open up his word and read what he has to say to me, grace comes from these words, because they are living and active. It is the word of our living God. And grace is this free gift from God. You know, it's like if I want to get wet in the rain, what do? I have to go into the rain. So if I want to know the heart and mind of God, I need to go into where he has been and where he is. Because as you know, God is in the past, he's in my present, and he's in my future. So if he's been to different places, don't you want to go and see? Don't you want to go and feel? Don't you want to go and spiritually know him? To get grace, you have to go where God is. Peter Keffler wrote, I love this quote, it's beautiful. If you stand in the Bible, you'll get hit by God's kiss. Wow. If I stand in the Bible, meaning if I read what it's got in there, I'll be hit I'll be like, whoa, by God's kiss. And a kiss can be gentle. A kiss can be passionate. A kiss can be overwhelming. But God's kiss, wouldn't you want that on your life, in your life, actually every day of your life? And can I encourage you, if you do not know God, if you do not read scripture very much, start. And you'll be overwhelmed with great joy, because this brings us joy of God living in your life more, of God's word dwelling in you more. God is simply amazing. And you will be just flabbergasted at what God does with you, in you. You know, this has power. Like I said, the Spirit, the Word of God, cuts marrow and bone. It exposes our heart, our will. It exposes God's heart and His will when you read His words. It transforms and changes our life, and then through our life, it transforms and changes the world. You know, some people say it's the story of creation, fall, and redemption. Paradise, paradise lost, paradise regained. Past, present, and future. But it also reveals God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you right now. Every day, take 15 minutes to read some scripture, to delve into it, and ask God to show you, to reveal to you, Himself to you, as you read His word and as you meditate upon it day and night. Let's ask God to be with us as we do this. Dear loving Father, we praise you and adore you. We desire to come to know you. We desire to know you more. Lord God, I don't know you very well sometimes. That's because I don't put the effort in. Would you reveal yourself more to me as I read your word? Would you show me more what it means when I read it? What I'm reading, what it means. What it means for my life, what it means for my future, what it means for my world. Lord, I trust in you. I will put the effort in, Lord, but can you help me open my eyes, open my spiritual eyes to see you? Lord God, help us in our life, help us find our purpose, and even if we do know our purpose, help us work out that purpose with you. In all of this we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening.